Tonight, we're going to look in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, one verse. And I want to read this verse, and every time I read this verse, I can't help but think of Brother Ward. This was his life verse. And, you know, when you read it, if you read it hurriedly, then... you know, you can kind of skim over some of the things that's being said. But when you read it slow and you try to grasp the meaning of what is being recorded for us, then it's rather overwhelming. Sister Angie gave me a box, yay big, of a lot of his notes several years ago. And so I was actually looking through this from time to time. I just kind of looked through them. And his writing was probably like a lot of people would say mine was, and you can't hardly read. There's only one person that can decipher my writing, and that's Darla. She kind of knows what I'm saying. So a lot of those notes, I get bits and pieces of them. And one thing about Brother Ward, and I hope I'm not saying anything bad, but he wrote on everything. If he had a thought, then he wrote it. And he would write it on a tithing envelope, or he would write it on a track, or he would write it on something. And I think he wrote, and I'm not putting words, in his mind, but I think he wrote them so he wouldn't forget them, because he thought it was that important. So I have a lot of those, and I'm thankful for them. I can't read a lot of them, but I'm glad I got them. but there is one outline that he had, and I'm not sure if it was an original outline. It really doesn't matter, but I want to give him credit for it, that I'm going to actually use some of those thoughts tonight based upon this verse. So we're doing this in honor and in memory of Brother Ward and his faithful ministry, what a tremendous godly example that he was and still is when you begin to really look at his life and all the things in his life. So I know in my life I appreciate his years of ministry. So we're going to be thinking about this thought tonight and this outline tonight, but I will say that I can't take credit for all of it. There's some of it that's mine, and there's some of it that's his. And so, but you know, when it comes to the Word of God, there's nothing new. And so, but let's read this verse. It says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." I believe that verse is a testimony of a changed life. A testimony of a changed life, because it talks about being crucified with Christ, but yet there's an understanding that we still are living. And we're living in this flesh. We just because we're saved doesn't mean that our flesh is different. We still have challenges. We still have hurts. We still have pains. We still have temptations. We still have all those things. But it's different now, because it goes on to say, the life that I live in the flesh, now I live it in faith. And I live it in faith of the Son of God, which is Jesus. And then it gives a summary of what he's done for all of us, and we can make it personal. He loved me and gave himself for me. So our thought tonight is, Jesus loved me and gave himself for me. Make it personal tonight. we that are here and you that are watching tonight, I hope that we can make this personal. I hope we can apply it to our lives, and I hope we can say that we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. We wouldn't have a desire to be here. We wouldn't have a desire to listen, to watch, if it wasn't for what He's done for us. And so let's pray tonight. Father, thank You for what You've done for us. We thank You for this opportunity that we have, that we can assemble together, that we can spend time with each other, but most importantly, we can spend time with You. So Father, I pray that You'll clear our hearts, that You'll clear our minds, that our focus tonight will be none other than on Jesus. Realizing, and just as nothing else, as a reminder of just how wonderful and how gracious and how loving that You have been to us because of Jesus. What an example. So Father, I pray that You'll help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says, "Who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father." The Bible also says, "For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And I want us to think on these two, this two, I don't know if you would necessarily call it a phrase, but I want you to think of these two things. And that is this: He gave and we have. He gave and we have. Now, when we start thinking about the cross and when we start thinking about what Jesus gave, I can't help but think of the verse that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. The Bible says, "For He hath made Him to become sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in Him." Now, I have a mechanical mind. And what I mean by that is, when I was growing up, I used to take things apart just to see how they work. And in many cases, I would be able to put them back together. And that's why when I'm working on something, I like to be the one that takes it apart so I'll know how it goes back together. And so my mind works mechanically. But when it comes to the verse that I just read to you just a few moments ago, when it says that "For He hath made Him to become sin for us," that's hard for my mind to wrap itself around. It's hard for me to comprehend the fact that Jesus became sin for us and He knew no sin. You see, we can relate to sin because we were born into sin. And the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we can relate to sin because that's our nature. We have that, even though we're saved, we still have that fleshly nature. We still have that hindrance. And I believe that's the reason that even God knew that. And therefore we have this promise that if we confess our sins, that He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, because He knew that we were not going to be perfect. But the part that's hard to wrap our minds around is that someone perfect, which was Jesus, became sin for us who knew no sin, and that we might be made righteous. And when we start thinking about that, when we start trying to wrap our minds around that, then it gets overwhelming. And there's where the faith comes in, because there's a lot of things that we don't understand. We just have faith that is real. And we have faith that is true, based upon what the Word of God tells us, and it helps us with. So when I think about that, He loved me and gave Himself for me, then I become very humbled and grateful. Because what we have tonight and what we share tonight is all about God. And it's all about Jesus Christ. This message tonight goes along with what we were trying to mention this morning in our message. And that is the understanding that what we have is not what we've earned or what we've done ourselves, but what we have tonight is all about what He's done for us. And that realization that, that everything, and that is everything, has to do with His grace, His love, His mercy. And we're just recipients of it. But what I can do tonight, as we think about this passage, and that is kind of think about it mechanically. When the Bible says He became sin for us who knew no sin, then we accept that by faith. We accept that by faith because it's just hard to comprehend that Jesus took all of our sins. And He became sin for us, and He became the supreme sacrifice that we might have life. And that we accept it by faith, and we accept the finished work of Calvary. We accept the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact that the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And so we accept that by faith. We put our total confidence and our trust in the finished work of Jesus. And it has nothing to do with us. So we accept that by faith. But yet we still can look at this in a mechanical way too. And so this is what I want to share with you. What He did for us. What He did for all mankind. And I believe when the Bible says whosoever, that means whosoever. It's not based upon our own merits. It's not based upon how we were raised or anything like that. I believe that He loves the person in the side ditch tonight just as much as He loves the people in church tonight. And that's just who He is. But when I think about this verse that in the latter part of Galatians 2:20 that says, who loved me, and we established that love this morning, we established that love that He loved for us. Now we need to establish what did He give. And so it may be hard for us to comprehend, and we accept it by faith that He became sin for us because there had to be a sacrifice. There had to be a price that was paid, and He paid that price. Now we think mechanically, and we think, what did He give? Well, when we think about what He gave, we must look at the cross. We must look at the crucifixion. We must look at the fact that that He gave Himself. There had to be a sacrifice that was made. So He gave Himself. So we begin tonight by saying, what did He give? And the first thing that we think about is this. Think of His head. Think of the body that Christ's body that was hanging on the cross. We must think of His head. And so we speak of the crown of thorns that was placed upon His head. And not only were they placed upon His head, they were forced upon His head. And if you've seen back years ago, I was in a couple of different church services that actually showed what was believed to be the thorns or the type of thorns that was placed upon His head. And they were very long. And they took this crown of thorns that were on His head, and then they took the reed and they started hammering it, if you will, upon His head, and it was piercing His head, these thorns, and blood began to run And so we can't help but think of that crown of thorns. But not only in that crown of thorns, there was some mockery that was taking place too. You know, it wasn't too long ago, a couple of services ago, that I mentioned the centurion that says it must this must be the Son of God, or this, you know, and so I think about those centurions, those forces that were taking that crown of thorns and they were placing it on his head. And so the verse that I think about, or the passage, is found in Matthew chapter 27. Verse 27, and I'll just read it to you. It says, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put him a scarlet robe. And when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him," and the Bible says they mocked him. "They mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' And they spit upon him and took the reed," and this is where they did, "they took the reed and they smote him on the head." They smote him, and that crown of thorns just continued to penetrate his head. So we think about, what did he give? We know that he became sin for us, but we can relate to the fact of the pain that he endured, because he is the King of the Jews. He is Lord of Lords. And the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But yet they were making a mockery of him. So he gave his head. He gave his head. The reed that the soldiers placed on his head, they mocked him as king and later would smite him. So we think of, what else did he give? And we're thinking physical here, but he gave his eyes. He gave his eyes. "He came to his own, and his own received him not." And that is found in John chapter 1, verse 11. John chapter 1, verse 11. But there's another passage in the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 41. The Bible says, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city, and he wept over it." Jesus wept. He wept over Jerusalem because of the condition they were in. He wept over Jerusalem because of the condition that they were in. He saw a nation and an opportunity, and they rejected. They rejected. They rejected who he was. They rejected what he came to do. And they rejected. And he wept. They saw their... he saw, as he looked out, he saw their spiritual ignorance, their blindness, even though God sent them a message many years before that the Messiah was coming. And Jesus wept. Jesus wept. I'm sure many of you can probably relate to weeping when it comes to weeping for your children. Your children making some bad decisions, or your children hurting, and you try to talk to them and you try to encourage them, and they reject and they say no, and you begin to weep because you understand. I think of the weeping that Jesus must have endured, realizing that those that he came for, those that he came to be a part of, rejected him. You see, that is the eyes. He saw religious activities that accomplish nothing. You see, that's what religion does. Religion is religious activities that do nothing. That do nothing. And they cried, "Crucify him, crucify him." What else did he give? We think about the fact that he gave his head. We think that He gave His eyes. And we think about the fact that He gave His cheeks. His cheeks that were smitten. His cheeks that were smitten. You see, they plucked the beard out of His face. They smote Him, the one that loved them. Now you picture in your minds smiting or hitting someone that loves you. And that's what they did. Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice for you and for me. What else did He give? He gave His tongue to prayer. What love was shown on the cross as He spoke the words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And although they crucified Him, and although they did all these things, they put Him on trial, they whipped Him, they beat Him, He was unrecognizable, and He still was able to give of Himself that says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And I say, what love tonight. What love and what compassion and what grace and what mercy. You see, that's who we serve tonight. We serve the one who takes an unworthy person such as us, and He changes them and He saves them. And we're on our way to heaven because of what was accomplished on the cross. You see, He gave His tongue to pray. What love was shown on the cross. No matter what a person has done, they can find forgiveness. You know, I'm glad that when it comes to forgiveness, it's not a matter of what we've done, but it's a matter of us asking for forgiveness. You know, there's a lot of things, and you know, as I said, mentioned this morning, you know, we don't compare ourselves to each other. We compare ourselves to a holy God. If we compare ourselves to each other and we look at our life versus someone else's life, and we say, "Well, I'm not such a bad person." But based upon what the Bible says, that we are. There's none righteous, no, not one. And so we don't compare ourselves to each other, but we compare ourselves to a holy God. And the fact that He gave Himself for us, and that forgiveness, that no matter what's in our life, no matter what we've done, the Bible says that He'll forgive us. And for that, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for that forgiveness that He has gave us the opportunity. And if I was going to ask you, and I'm not going to, but if I was going to ask you for a show of hands of have you had a perfect life, or have you not done anything wrong, I don't know of anyone in this building that would raise their hand and say, "Well, I have. I've done a great job." No, if the truth be known, we're all guilty. Amen. But we're all forgiven. Amen. See, that's what we're grateful for tonight. That's what He's given. As He spoke those words from the cross saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They didn't know what they were doing. But we know tonight. And He was willing to forgive. What else did He give? And the one that I think of when I think about what He gave, and that is His shoulders to bear the burdens. His shoulders to bear the burdens. And that's found in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, and this is a familiar passage to many of us, but the Bible says, "And when He hath found it, He lay it on His shoulders rejoicing." You see, that's that sheep that was lost. You see, Jesus spoke a parable, and I'll just read it to you. It says in verse 3, "And He spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders rejoicing." You see, I think of that shepherd going after that sheep, and when he find that sheep, he lay it on the shoulders, or he laid it on the shepherd's shoulders, and carry it back, rejoicing. You see, I believe that there's rejoicing in heaven when someone gets saved. I believe that there's rejoicing. There's rejoicing in our hearts when someone accepts Christ as their personal Savior, and that change is taking place. The shepherd went out looking for that lost sheep, and when he found it, he placed it on his shoulders. You see, Jesus gave. He gave those shoulders. And I even think about the burdens. The Bible says that we can cast our care upon Him, for He cares for us. There's very little care in this world. There's very little care. It's all about me. It's all about mine. It's all about, you know, what I can get, what I can achieve, and all those things. But when you really think about the caring that our Lord has for us, we become overwhelmed. Just how much He cares for you and for me. What else did He give? He gave His side as they pierced that side with a spear. Jesus loved me and gave Himself for me. He gave His hands and His feet for me. I think about the nails. And I think about the nails that were driven in His hands. I think about the nail that was driven in His feet. And you've heard the fact that they do that to the cross is such a horrific death. And the crucifixion and the fact that there's smothering that takes place. And how that they nail them to the cross. And how that in many cases, but not of Jesus, but in many cases they break the legs just so they will go ahead and die because they literally suffocate. But the Bible says not a bone would be broken and none was. Isn't it wonderful? The promises that are found in the Bible and how real they are. He gave. He gave His hands, He gave His feet. He gave Himself. But the one that makes the difference is He gave His precious blood. He gave His precious blood. You see, we would be nothing if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus. We would have nothing if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, the Bible says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God." Notice what it says, "which He hath purchased with His own blood." He hath purchased. And that's one of many verses that talks about the blood of Jesus. But you see, He gave His blood for you and for me. When we take communion, the Bible says, "This do in remembrance of me." And we remember the broken body, but we also remember the shed of blood. And I'm glad tonight that it's the shed blood that makes the difference. I'm glad tonight that it's all about what He did. It's all about the price that was paid. And I'm glad, as I've said many times, and I'll continue to say, I'm glad tonight it's not about me, but it's everything about Him. And that's what we must focus on. We must focus on Him and the shed blood that He shed for you and for me. There's a song that goes something like this: "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." And I echo that tonight. No one ever cares for me like Jesus. You see, He gave Himself. His blood was shed for you and for me. We were bought with a price. And the price was Jesus. The price was Jesus. Then lastly tonight, He gave His life for you and for me. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. Do you realize tonight that he gave everything for you and for me? He gave all the riches and he became poor that we might be rich. For ye know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet he for our sakes became poor, that she through his poverty might be rich. No matter what financial state you're in tonight, no matter what financial state our country's in, no matter all the things that's taking place, we are rich tonight because of Jesus. We are rich tonight because of Jesus. And I read to you this verse as we close. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And we say tonight, thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for just a brief, short time that we focus on what you gave. The fact that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. And our mind becomes overwhelmed to realizing that you became sin for us who knew no sin. And then we think of the physical pain that Jesus endured for us. Yes, we become overwhelmed. But not overwhelmed to the point of lack of understanding, but overwhelmed with gratitude because of just what you've done. Lord, as we leave this place and we start our days going forward, may we get up every morning with gratitude of just how much you love us. Help us, Lord, to live this life that would be pleasing to you, and help us to be grateful and thankful for what was accomplished and the fact that you took our place. We love you tonight, and we ask if there's someone that just wants to come and talk to you tonight, that they'll come. And Father, we thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.